The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Greg Hill Show. Courtney and Wiggy, Razor, we've got Jaden here. Shime's back at the studio. Jackson's back there. I don't know if College Tom is. I want to make sure that I'm covering all my bases.
No. Just okay, me and no, Jackson back here.
Sad,
today.
No College Tom. But I do see some people still hanging out on hold. I want to get to Susan in Danvers, if she's still there.
I'm here.
Susan, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Merry Christmas to everybody.
Merry Christmas.
I am calling because I had a house party on Saturday night for the holidays.
Love it.
And we incorporated my husband's 60th birthday, who's going to be on Christmas.
Oh, happy birthday.
So I wanted
birthday.
To call and wish him a happy birthday a little bit early, but it's going to be on Christmas Day.
Oh, what's his name, Susan?
So I just wanted to call in. His name is Mark.
Mark, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yep.
Oh, all right. Thanks. Thank you, Susan. That stinks if you're born on Christmas. I have a few friends, like Mike Golick's son, Jake. He's born on Christmas, and I always text him and say, you know, I'm sure a lot of people look right past it because it's the Christmas day and it's not Jake Day. But if you're born and it's kind of like...
Yeah. But the older you get, you don't care about your birthday. You don't really want anything for your birthday.
You should always care about your birthday.
Don't you double dip then if you're born on Christmas?
No, I think that you get quite the opposite.
Yeah, you get screwed.
Yeah,
you get
screwed.
You? Oh,
yeah,
you don't get...
You're never really going to get... It's like going to Chipotle and asking for double chicken.
Okay.
You're never really getting the double chicken.
So you need to be born either Christmas Eve or the day after Christmas.
Ooh, I even think that's a little bit too close. I think you need to be a week out.
Not even December.
Ooh.
I think December is just a bad month.
I don't know. Okay. New Year's Eve could be a good night for your birthday. Because New Year's Eve is amateur night anyway.
Yeah, but I was looking at it for the gifts.
So you don't get any gifts on New Year's Eve. So.
Right, but your birthday's a couple days before Christmas, you get all those birthday
gifts.
But
I'm with Razor.
You get those Christmas
gifts. I think people are like, here's your birthday Christmas gifts.
Oh, yeah. You think they put them all together?
Yeah, you kind of get the
same.
They
pool it.
All right.
Yeah. Do we have Blair still on hold?
Yep.
Hi, Blair. Morning.
Yep. Good morning to you guys. What's up, Iggy? How you doing, Iggy?
How's it going?
What's up, bro?
What up?
Great. What do you think the Patriots go undefeated one of these seasons, huh? Again, like, they gotta do something soon, you know? I'm tired of seeing them, like, suffer, you know? They got to do something soon. They exactly had the game, you know? They were up 7-0. They only lost by 4, so it's not like they're terrible this season. They only won 3, so yeah, that's not great. But I wanted to bring up something to you guys. So my birthday falls on March 6th. It's the same exact birthday as Shaquille O'Neal.
Mm. Wow.
Now, I can't call anything wrong with the worst free throw person on earth, you know. I probably make more free throws than him, but it's all right.
Right, but then again, you ain't 7'3".
What a world we go to.
Dominating.
Where Shaquille O'Neal, we go right to his free throw. Who cares? Like,
he's one of the most dominating big men.
That's the world of pro sports. Yeah. Right? Literally one of the greatest players of all time. Yeah. A guy that you would never say that to his face, and everyone rips him on
I mean, he'd probably be like, I wasn't a great free throw shooter, but no one could stop me in the paint.
Yeah.
You know,
let's go down in the block. Yeah, you and me, one on one.
That's why I think he has, what, 5 championships or 4, so, you know.
All right, we've got Tom or Tim on the line, Shime. I'm not sure. I'm getting a few texts from Jackson. Here's Tom. Tom, good morning.
Hey, hi, hey guys, how you doing? Wiggy, yeah. You played for Belichick. It's like this is. I feel bad for Gerard Mayo. The Crafts, they've totally screwed this thing up. Jonathan Kraft is a complete clown. He's up in the box the week or so ago. You know, you can read his lips. He's making notes like he knows everything. He's an absolute clown. They throw Mayo to the Wolves. He's never even been a coordinator, all right? And now they get him as a head coach. You're replacing a 6-time Super Bowl-winning coach with a guy that's never even been a coordinator. Jonathan Kraft is calling all the shots. He's a dummy thinking he knows football. It's awful what they're doing. And I feel bad for Mayo because he's a nice guy, good family guy, great for us, but totally unprepared. It's unbelievable what the Crafts are doing. It's a joke. It's a total joke. And you play for Bill. Mm-hmm. Come on. You replace Bill Belichick with a guy who hasn't even been a coordinator. That's pathetic.
See, I think that is a big part of it is always going to be Gerard is, because Greg does it all the time, he's going to be compared to Bill. And you can't compare these two. Like, even like, because people go, well, isn't Gerard a defensive guy? He's supposed to know defense. He played for Bill. He knows defense. Why is the defense so bad? Bill did this with the defense last year, and Bill did this. And I'm like, you're trying to compare the not only the greatest coach, but one of probably the greatest defensive mind in NFL history, defensive coordinator, defensive coach, and Bill Belichick. And you're trying to compare Gerard Mayo to him as a defensive guy.
And they always say, well, did you think there was going to be this much of a drop-off from last season? But then Gerard always points out, like, they're banged up. They've been injured pretty much all season long.
Have they struggled on defense? Yes. And I thought they would have been better. And, obviously this is Gerard's thing, you know. You would expect that to be good. But a lot of the times you're trying to compare him to Bill, and that's just like... You can't do that. It's like this guy's the greatest, you know, the greatest defensive mind of all time, and you're trying to compare Gerard Mayo's defense to Bill Belichick.
It's not fair.
No, it's not.
Can I also say, the callers this morning, just me, or do they all sound sauced up?
Oh, I hope they're sauced up.
Too,
if I didn't
holidays.
Have to be here, I would have got really drunk last night.
I'm jealous.
Just a slow drip all
What's
the way through the week.
What's your drink of choice?
Nah, I'll just go wine or beer at this point.
Oh,
wine. I'll have a vodka or something, but...
Wiggy's a vodka.
No scotch, no rum.
No brown.
I love the brown.
Sando loves the brown.
Crown Royal. And then it's salted caramel and then the blackberry. So I'm big on those two. Because then you could just drink them on the rocks.
I can't do any of the brown liquor. I don't like the taste. I don't like the smell. But I like just tequila.
But I don't know how people drink wine. I can't.
I
like ugh.
Yeah.
And then they drink it warm or like room temperature. I'm like, ugh, that's disgusting.
So you'll put an ice cube in?
No, I won't. I don't even drink it. I'm like, ugh. Can you put an ice cube in wine?
No.
I dated a guy once who was putting ice cubes in wine. That should have been
that
like,
lasted 2 dates.
No, but it should have.
Yeah, it should have.
So you drink it just...
I should have told you that. Yeah. That's a red flag and a half.
Room temperature. Yeah, he loved
it. You can't put it in the refrigerator?
Oh, no. I mean, white
you
wine.
Could. You could put... You can have chilled red
or
wine.
Or a Montepulciano.
You probably, like, ruin it. Connoisseur.
Yeah, I don't know anybody that likes anything room temperature to drink.
Oh, wine. Pretty good. All right, we're going to get to Gerard Mayo after the break, so let's break here because he will be joining us at any minute. Here's what's trending.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Ooh, Wiggy's going to love who's doing trending right now. Imagine Exhibitions is doing it. The Patriots drop a close one with the Bills. 24-21 was the final with the Pats leading in the first half. A scoreless third for the Pats with Buffalo scoring 10 was the start of the end. Drake May completed 22 of 36 passes for 261 yards, two touchdowns, and an interception. The college football playoffs are underway this past weekend, and it was pretty much what everybody expected it to be. Penn State beat SMU, Ohio State beat Tennessee, Texas beat Clemson, and Curtis's college lock was a good one. Notre Dame beat Indiana. The PNC Championship happened in Orlando over the weekend, and what a showing from Charlie Woods. His first hole-in-one, the 15-year-old hit a 7-iron on a par 3 fourth hole for his first ace. And the Celtics are back in action tonight after beating the Bulls on Saturday. They have the Magic in Orlando tonight, 7 p.m. tip. And the Bruins beat the Sabres on Saturday. They have the Capitals tonight at the TD Garden. Puck drop at 7. Wiggy, Harry Potter, the exhibition, has just added dates in Boston. Come celebrate the filmmaking magic of Harry Potter in an unforgettable, interactive way. You won't want to miss it. It's here through April 27th. Get your tickets before it's too late at harrypotterexhibition.com. I've already been to it. It's excellent. 10 out of 10 experience.
Are you a Harry Potter guy?
No, I've never seen any Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah, me too. Yeah, I know.
I've never seen any Harry Potter.
Jaden, have you?
No.
What? Yeah, you guys are missing out.
No.
Wow. I went on the ride at Universal. It was fun.
Yeah, very fun. You'd like the exhibition. All right, Gerard Mayo's here, so we're going to take a quick break. We will be right back. Welcome back to the Greg Hill Show. Greg out, Curtis is out, so it's Wiggy and the Woman with Razor, and we are now joined by Gerard Mayo, and Gerard Mayo's interview
is Razor and Jaden.
Yeah, and Jaden. Jaden is being a bit shy. He's talked a little bit, but I don't want to put him on the spot anymore because I've asked too many questions. But this interview is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health with 5 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. It's also brought to you by Land Rover of Norwood and by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name you know when your drains won't flow, and by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. I always feel bad for Greg when he's doing that read because it is awkward.
Yeah.
It's like you're sitting here, there's a million different sponsors, but
you got to pay the bills.
Yeah, you do. Loss yesterday, but not a terrible one. We treat it like a moral victory Monday. I'm sure you don't, but how is your overall feeling with how the guys played?
You know, having an opportunity to go back and watch the film, I thought the guys really came out and started fast, you know, in a hostile environment. That's not an easy place to play offensively and defensively in that first quarter. It was one of the best quarters we've had all year. Unfortunately, we weren't able to carry that over into the second half, but I thought the guys played hard, and I mean, you hit it on the head. There are no moral victories, but we'll learn from this and correct it and try to get better going forward.
A big question that we had last week, we talked about it with you last Monday, and then I know AVP was asked about it, and he touched on it, but design run plays for Drake and the lack thereof. He basically, I don't want to quote him incorrectly, but said that the reason in which maybe there aren't many or aren't at all is that they don't want to put Drake in a situation where he could get injured at the end of this season. That was a difference yesterday that we saw. There were some design run plays for him. What was the change?
Yeah, to me, we're trying to win a football game. To us, we all are trying to win a football game, coaches and players included, and we're always going to do what's best for the team, and that was what was best for the team yesterday, and he used his legs and made a couple plays.
Gerard, you talked about the tale of two halves. First half, offensively, you were able to move the ball well. What do you think was the biggest issue in the second half? I know, obviously, turnovers were a huge part of losing that football game, but what do you think were the biggest issues for you not being able to sustain that success in the second half, especially when it came to offense and maybe moving the football?
Look, when we talk about complementary football, that's all three phases. And, you know, our best defense in the first quarter was our offense going out there having extended drives. Like, that was against a team like this. And anytime you get an MVP caliber type of player in Josh Allen on the sideline for that, you know, that amount of time, it's good for us. You know, in saying that, you know, this game came down to two things. It came down to us turning the ball over. It came down to us not being able to stop the run. I mean, that's, if you boil everything down, decisions made, do this, do that, it was those two things that really hurt us the most.
Can you fix those two things for Saturday afternoon? Were there fixable moments, or is it a product of just the build-up and a football play, for instance?
They're definitely fixable. And, you know, what this game comes down to is just consistency. You know, consecutive six-second plays, play after play after play after play, being consistent, and all 11 guys being on the same page. So to answer your question, yes.
Jelani Tavai talked to us on Friday and said that he felt like it was a good week of practice, felt like the defense was clicking. They knew what they needed to do going into this one. Started off strong, kind of fell off in the second half. What do you think it is about that second half of games where your guys maybe aren't fully executing?
Well, you know, I guess it depends on what game you watch as far as second half play is concerned. You know, for me, the players, they go out there every single play and try to do what they think is right. And so I have no gripe against that. I would just say, just on a going back to consistency, we just have to, in all three phases, go out there and do and run the plays. I mean, that's what it comes down to. I have to coach better, and we just have to get in that win column. I think, you know, winning heals all.
Gerard, this game is all about confidence. Your team was able to do something that not many teams can say that they do, which hold the Buffalo Bills to under 30. Basically, frustrated Josh Allen through the majority of the game, limit him and what he was able to do. How can you, even though it's a loss, how can you take some of that, especially defensively, and say, okay, we were able to do this against a really good offense. I was going to work on the run, but to build off of some of that confidence kind of moving forward in these last two games.
Yeah, it's huge, you know. I mean, that's what being a professional is all about. It's about taking the good out of the last game, and this is why we do those self-scouts, take the good out of the last game and move forward. You know, I was so proud of the way those guys did contain, going back to your question, they did a great job, for the most part, keeping Josh Allen in the pocket. Now, did he get outside? Absolutely, at times. I thought the guys in the back end covered well, but we have to carry that over. We have a huge challenge in front of us here on Saturday.
What does the week look like? Does it change with the holiday, with the Saturday afternoon? I was asking Wiggy earlier just kind of what the Sunday to Saturday schedule, days off-wise, and then getting ready for the Chargers.
Yeah, I mean, look, and I would say it's also a Saturday game, which is always tough. If it was a Sunday game, I mean, it's a little bit different. Yeah. But, look, we'll put extra work in today. We'll put extra work in tomorrow. The guys will have a chance to spend time with their families on Wednesday.
Got it.
And then really you just continue to make up that time on Thursday and Friday, and the guys understand that, and the captains, they were all for it, and that's what we're going to do.
We've been talking about the different reports that have been coming out, whether it's, you know, the Crafts have told you that you are good to go for next season. I know that you answered that question with the media last week saying, you know, I don't know where these reports are coming out from. Then Diana Russini said, you know, three games left of the season. The Crafts want to see close games, but they feel like he is the future. Is that a distraction for your team? Are you proud of how they've handled it? And it must be annoying for you that that is a narrative that your guys have to answer to.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not, I mean, you said it, and I agree with you. It's just annoying that
you said
player,
it, not me.
No, we're not going. We're not going.
We're not going back.
We are not going back. Down that road. Are we all clear? Yeah. Are we all clear?
Ultimately,
every decision in football it starts and ends with me. Going back to your question was what now? Because now you threw me off my game.
I just feel like it must be annoying.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Look, the guys, they handle it the way they handle it. I never tell them what to say. And to me, it's about, you know, the consistency and the messaging within the building. And that's what it's all about. I can't control, you know, what's being reported. I can't control, you know, there are things I just can't control. But what I can control is my attitude and the way I approach every single week, the way I approach all the players, you know, trying to get them better.
Well, because Drake May, when he was asked about it after the game, he said, basically, I think the reports are BS. And, you know, we support Gerard, we support ABP, but the look on his face, the way he was grabbing the back of his neck, it's like, when are we going to stop this narrative over and over again, week after week? Do you wish that maybe the Crafts would come out and say, hey, we've had the discussion, Gerard's good to go next year?
Again, like, I don't know what that would do. It doesn't matter. Like, to
shut
me,
us up.
No, I mean, look, you gotta fill up the airwaves somehow. Right. You know what I mean? So it's fine. Like, for me and for the team, like, we're pushing forward and we're getting ready for the Chargers. You know, look, we just have to continue to get better. It's about the process, and that's what we're doing. Obviously, no one's excited. Fans, coaches, players, anyone, no one's excited about our record. But what we have to do is just go back to the drawing board every single week and continue to get better on a down after down basis, day after day basis.
Well, one of the things that, you know, you kind of look at is when you, like you said, you're able to self-scout and kind of self-evaluate with these next two games. I feel like you guys put yourself in a position where, you know, you went into Buffalo and it was a game you could have won. What do you have to do, especially starting with the Chargers? Like, what do you have to do as a team to say, okay, we can win these games and we can play with these teams moving forward, especially coming up against the Chargers on Saturday?
It's about putting two halves of football together. I mean, look, we go back and how many one-score games have we had throughout the season and just weren't able to finish? It's about putting four quarters of good complementary football together, and that's what we plan to do on Saturday.
Gerard, I got a question.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Atta boy, way
yeah.
to step yeah. in. I
see,
love it.
You see?
Good.
I'm just wondering, like, how the seasons went. Like, what is your thought process going into next season, and, like, what are you thinking towards? What are you thinking now? Like, I know you got the Chargers coming up Saturday, but what are you thinking after the season and whatnot during the offseason?
Yeah, I would say, you know, we try. That's a good question, by the way.
Yes.
We train them up. Train them up. Proud dad. Proud dad. Look, I try to stay as present as possible with the reality. But the reality is you always have to look out the front windshield when you're trying to build a team. You know, for me, you know, after we get through the season, there are a lot of things, a lot of checklists that you have to go through. You know, what players you want to keep around, what coaches you want to keep around here, how that actually, how the process of the season, like what I did right, what I did wrong. I have to put a mirror in front of my face, and it starts with me, you know, putting a mirror in front of my face and really just going through the things that I have to get better at going forward. And then look, everything that we've done this year, you know, from a process standpoint, I mean, some of it's been good, some of it's been bad, but that is part of being, you know, in your first year, whether your first year in whatever, first year you want to be a journalist, first year, like, it's a learning experience. And you, but the most important thing is to be able to reflect and be honest with yourself, you know, when you didn't do things the right way or when you did it the right, wrong way.
I have a question about the kickoffs. And there was the kids were debating it on the couch last night watching the game. Has it taken out some of the strategy on special teams? And do you like the new kickoffs?
You know, for me, you know, I'm just a huge fan of trying to kick it out the back of the end zone. What I will say is as the weather starts to change, even though you want to kick it out the back of the end zone, as it gets cold, the ball does not carry as far. And so I think as we go through this season and the cold weather games continue to pop up, you're going to see a lot more returns coming up here soon.
When it comes to Ramondre, another game where he looked great in the beginning, but, you know, holding on to the football, what's been the issue there, you think?
Yeah, I mean, everyone is different. Every one of those fumbles has really been different, but it's a mentality, and we continue to, you know, reiterate to the whole team, whoever has the ball, even the defensive players, if they get an interception or something like that, you know, when you carry the ball, you're carrying the fortunes of the rest of the team. And we just have to, you know, we have to get better. And I would say, look, Ramondre understands that more than anyone else. He understands that he has to protect the football. And so, you know, we got to get better in practice and just show up in the game.
Same thing with penalties. All the penalties are different. You know, yesterday Hunter Henry has another holding penalty. What do you see there?
Yeah, I don't really put that holding penalty, you know, on Hunter per se. I think Drake, as he watches the film, he would see that if he just went downhill, it wouldn't be a holding. That same position that Hunter was in is this exact same position on stretch run plays that offensive tackles are in.
Mm-hmm.
And when, you know, they think the running back's going to cut back, but he continues. Yeah, you probably have some holding penalties.
Oh, yeah.
He continues to go outside, and now you're like, oh, shoot.
Yeah, like,
and it's that slight tug, and, you know, they call it.
Tell him, no, go inside.
That's right.
I can't help you.
That's right.
But the one – when you look at this game and you look at, like, kind of where your team is, and the thing that, you know, maybe you take away as a positive thing is when you have your guys, whether it's Drake May, whether it's Hunter Henry, there's been a couple guys on defense, talking about the respect that they have for you as a coach, and they love you as a coach. And like you said, there's always – it's going to be very difficult for somebody in their first year because there's going to be the ups and downs. But what does it mean when your players come out publicly, not necessarily that they have to defend you, but just to know, like, that's the sentiment in the locker room, is that your players really, you know, they got your back.
I mean, look, I appreciate it. And I've said this before, like, this game is all about relationships. And again – you know, as we continue to build, like, you know, we're going to do it together. You know, you think about it, even with the quarterback, like, we're growing up together. This is his rookie year, and I fully anticipate us, you know, getting better as a team going forward.
There was a moment in the game, I don't know if you'll tell me, but you and Drake were having a conversation. It looked like a growing or a teaching moment in the game. Is there anything that you can kind of elaborate on and maybe give us a little insight onto what you guys might have been talking about? You know, the play kind of point I'm talking about, you came off to the sidelines, you kind of were covering your mouth, looked like you were having a discussion.
We got lip readers out there.
Yeah. And I didn't know.
So I covered my mouth, and then you asked me to talk about it here. So that really just takes away the entire reason
I don't know.
Covering my mouth.
Well, maybe
I'm not answering. You cover your mouth for a reason.
I thought you didn't want the team to know, but now the game's over.
The team to know.
The other team?
You think they can lip read from across
so
the field?
So who you covering? Who's lip reading?
It's us.
You guys.
Oh, ain't no way we can lip read.
I mean, we did it with Jonathan.
Let's go. Next question.
I want to go back to you talked about reflection, but it's very hard to reflect in the middle of the season every day you're trying to get ready to the next. So have you had an opportunity, and how do you do that, I guess, in season, both reflecting on how to get better for yourself, but really the main focus, your job, is to make everybody else better around you.
Yeah, I would say, you know, with having a late bye week, that gave me an opportunity to really reflect.
Yeah.
And in saying that, you know, a few weeks later now, we had a very late bye week. A few weeks later, I'll go back through it and get better and evaluate all those things.
Playing a tough team like Buffalo twice in such a short period of time, obviously both teams get to look at that film and fix things that maybe went wrong. What do you feel like the advantage is playing a team twice in such a short period of time at the end of the season?
Yeah, to me, it just kind of neutralizes everything. Like you just said, they get to see things and we get to see things, and that game's going to come down who can adjust faster. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it's going to come down to.
All right, well, it's time now for the Hellman's Mayo Question of the Week. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Wiggy?
Gerard, was there a conscious effort in the game yesterday from a defensive scheme where you were more focused on keeping Josh Allen in the pocket rather than, like, really attacking the pass rush? Because I almost felt like, you know, you kind of saw that from some of the defensive linemen.
Yeah, 100%. You know, this is one of the most dangerous players when he's a yard away from the sideline. Like, this guy can make all the throws across the field, down the field. And so keeping him in the pocket, that was definitely the goal. And I thought overall they did a good job doing that.
Any Christmas traditions as we get closer to Wednesday? For the Mayo family?
Open presents. The kids just love opening presents. And then, you know, as a dad, you start to have to build a bunch of things.
Yep.
And now that my kids are getting older, though, it's about the V-Bucks. It's about clothes. Yeah. It's about, like, some of that stuff.
But it's more about the money.
Yeah, that's right. Right. Show me the money.
What's Santa leaving in the stocking? How much is in the stocking?
Here's $100 in the stocking.
Are you ham, turkey, tenderloin?
I'm a turkey guy. I mean, not just like a basic turkey, though, like a Cajun turkey or a fried turkey. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, something like that, you know. Everything tastes better fried.
Yeah.
White meat or dark meat?
I'm going to go. I'm going to go with the dark.
There you go.
All right. Well, thanks for everything this season so far. I hope you have a Merry Christmas. Wiggy's going to be in.
Hey, don't ask anybody else that question.
All right.
Journalism. Pick the right one.
I like it. I like it nice and juicy. I'm a ham guy, so. Yeah.
You don't like dark meat, though.
I don't mind it, but I'm a ham guy. I rather prefer ham over.
Ham's gross.
Yeah. Nice honey baked ham.
All right. Well, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
You'll be in next Monday before New Year's Eve?
I'm not sure. You guys tell me.
Well, I don't know. Wiggy's here.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'll be here.
All right. Yeah. Awesome. That conversation with the coach is brought to you by Cross Insurance. Cross Insurance, official insurance broker of the New England Patriots. Gerard Mayo, thank you so much.
Oh, thanks, guys.
We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Greg Hill Show. No Greg, no Curtis. Wiggy's here. Razor's here. Jaden's here with a hell of a two questions, I got to say, to Gerard Mayo.
Yeah.
Second
one better than the first one.
Second one was 10 out of 10. Any nuggets for you out of this, Wiggy?
I think, you know, more so with Gerard, and it was really a good question by Jaden when he was, like, reflecting on what I need to do differently, right? Because we're all talking about him not being in over his head or him not being the guy for the job or whatever. So I think really if he gets the opportunity. That's why I always say for a first-year guy, I'm always looking at their second year, because what did they learn from their first year so they're not making those same mistakes in the second year? And a lot of it was like self-reflection on things that I need to go do better. Which players are going to be here? What coaches are going to be here?
Yeah. My nugget was from that same answer where he said looking at my staff as well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a tough position to be in after your first season, but there has to be some change if you end, you know, with three wins on a season. So that's something that's important that he's looking at.
You know what? The other thing I was thinking about was, to his answer to that, was that bye week would have benefited him a lot earlier in the season.
Yeah.
To have it so late. I know they came out of the bye really poorly, but this game was better. They learned from that week game in Arizona.
Right.
They simplified a little bit more this week.
Right.
But because it was so late, he just didn't have time. His head's in a blender. They're losing 4 or 5 in a row. He could have really got that bye a little bit earlier. Would have been more beneficial to him.
And Chime, I believe we have some breaking news.
What?
Yeah, a little
bit. Oh, I thought you were going to do the open.
We didn't get a button or anything.
Yeah.
Oh, you breaking news sounder?
Come on.
I'm excited about that.
This is breaking news. Breaking news on WEEI is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
Wiggy, you're going to be very happy about this one, because Craig Breslow was not just blowing smoke when he said he wasn't finished when it comes to pitching for the Red Sox. The Red Sox have gotten Walker Buehler an agreement, 1-year contract there.
Okay.
So,
all right. They added to that rotation.
Yep.
You know, Burns is still out there. He's still available. Let's see what they do there. But I think when you look at it, they're adding to that rotation. It's going to cost them a little bit of money there, nothing crazy. But
$21 million.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Getting better.
From the Dodgers, though.
That is it.
Last year.
They're getting better, and they're getting better in the area where they need the most help, and that's their rotation.
Yeah.
That's their pitching.
I'm just happy that they're still doing anything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Craig Breslow.
Yep.
All right. Well, good stuff there. Mm-hmm. And Gerard Mayo, I thought overall, he seems relaxed. Like, that's why I don't understand when people keep saying, oh, Gerard Mayo, you know, he looks over his head. He looks stressed. He's coaching, you know, crazy. He sits there every week, is honest, I feel, with us, and doesn't seem like a guy whose job is on the line.
No, but I told you, it's really the putting the foot in your mouth and walking it back.
Yes.
That's like, people call it, it's like, well, you know, it's his coaching, it's this. Okay, so where in the coaching, the Hunter Henry thing, we all agreed, and he even said it, well, based on the way that holding call was called on Hunter Henry, it wasn't really on him. It is if you're supposed to go inside the blocker and you go outside, his job is, you know, to make it where you can go inside, and he might get a little handsy when he sees you trying to break out out there. So the whole, you know, the discipline thing and the fumbling, you know, you got, that's, I get it. It's part on the coach. You got to work on it. But as a player, you got to learn to keep the ball in your hands. That's kind of on you.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we can hear Mike from Florida, who I think is agreeing with you, Wiggy. Mike, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. First off, I'd like to say Merry Christmas to you and all your families, and Happy New Year.
Oh, you too, Mike.
But before the coach came on, there are a few callers. I'm like, is everybody like hitting the eggnog early or something? Like, it's unbelievable. You listen to people, they call in, and it's like they sound like they're half in the bag, and then they say things about the coach that just don't make any sense. Here's the thing with Mayo. Yes, does he say things sometimes that I'm sure he'd like to, like, take back right when he says them? Yes, and that's why he walks things back. I think he'll learn from that. I think moving forward next season, you know, he'll probably take this off season as an opportunity to say, okay, I got to stop doing this. But when it comes to, you know, the game planning and guys wanting to see, you know, see the Patriots game plan, just let it hang out, just throw Drake May out there and let him improvise. I think the reason they don't do that is because when you're trying to figure out what are our strengths and what are our weaknesses, if you're starting to use improvisational, you know, play calling, that doesn't allow you to see the actual fundamentals as they are, you know. But the same people that are criticizing Mayo, you know, for his first year as a head coach with a rookie quarterback, would never have criticized Bill Belichick with his first, second, or third year without Tom Brady. So if you're going to criticize Gerard Mayo, just remember the fact that you weren't willing to criticize the greatest of all time and his deficiencies as a coach when he lost the greatest quarterback of all time.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, and I've said this, and we kind of always talk about this. When you start to look at a lot of first-year head coaches that inherit a bad team, and it might be different in hockey, it's you're going to struggle. You're going to make a lot of, you're going to make a lot of mistakes, and you're going to have to learn on the job. Those are just things that naturally happen when you are a first-year head coach. It happened with the Bill Belichick his first year when he started coaching in Cleveland. It happened with Andy Reid his first year as a head coach. Like, a lot of, and I'm not saying that Mayo's going to be those guys. I'm just saying when you're a first-year coach, you're doing something that you never – so you automatically lack experience. People always say, well, he doesn't have the experience. Well, guess what? Every head coach that becomes a first-year head coach – has zero experience.
Yep.
That's just the nature of it.
And people always say, Curtis always says, like, he's always trying to place blame elsewhere. He just sat there and said, I need to look myself in the mirror.
Right.
That's the first thing I need to do because it starts at the top. So, there's been a few shots taken here and there, but overall, I think Gerard Mayo knows that he needs to get better as he gets further along with his career as a head coach.
Well, yeah, he's very... Listen, he played the game, he's been around the game, and he understands, I know, the way this works. He understands that we're going to talk about stuff.
Right.
He understands that what's going on in the dressing room is much different than this. The placing of the blame, of course he knows that he's the one on the chopping block. Like that's when
right.
you when you sign on to be a head coach and you've been in the game for 20 years, your entire life, you know you're the guy that's getting fired. You know all of that goes into that. So the idea that that he's trying to place the blame somewhere else so he doesn't get looked at or get criticized, I mean, that there's no way he really believes
now,
that.
And you, because you brought up the tenure thing in hockey, right? Does it happen in hockey or, like, a lot of those guys have been head coaches before? Or has there ever been, like, a guy who's – this is his first year being a head coach.
No, a lot of times they're coaches in juniors, they're coaches in college, they're assistant coaches in the NHL. But the majority, again, 98%, unlike football, where
right.
you only have the NFL, so you take a coordinator and put them a head coach.
Right, right.
A lot, 98% of the time, they've been coaches in the minors.
Okay.
In college.
All
they
right.
You want to – a lot of, and a lot of times you'll see assistant coaches mm-hmm. in the NHL – who want to be head coaches, they go down a level. They go down two levels to be a
head coach
somewhere
okay.
else.
So it's
but
not,
there's opportunities to do that. In
right.
football, there isn't. There's no
right.
minor leagues to
right.
go learn how to be
so
a head coach.
So there's really no first-year head coach in the NHL.
Very rarely.
Okay.
Jim Montgomery was a head coach in college. He was a head coach in the
right,
USHL.
Okay.
Joe Sacco, head coach in Colorado prior, but he was a head coach for the AHL team and
okay.
won in the AHL the year before he became the head coach in Colorado.
Right.
Well, there's a lot to like about Lowell, so I want to get to Joe, who's from Lowell, who's been on the line for a bit. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, I want to say something to Mike in Florida. Back in 2000, people were calling the Big O Show ripping Belichick up and down. So let's get that straight. Calling up radio shows and ripping the coach is New Englanders' pastime. So don't give me that nobody gave people, nobody ripped people back in the day. They did. Second of all, I'm so sick and tired of Gerard Mayo going back to the blackboard. Going back to the blackboard means what you're doing is failing, and you have to scrap it and start from the beginning. We're not trying to invent the light bulb. We're trying to win football games. What is his problem?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point, and I think everybody feels that way. But
right.
it's the same thing as the plan. He was saying the plan
right.
over and over again
well,
at the beginning of the season.
That's where you have to win. Like,
right.
at the end of the day, in,
right.
this whole thing, you have to win. Because
right.
otherwise, again, that's what the winning teams are doing. That's what the
right.
everyone's going back to the blackboard. But you can't – if you lose 11-7 in a row, no one wants to
it's like,
it.
Wait a second. You got to go to the blackboard, back to the blackboard every single week. Can't you learn – from, the prior week and not make the same mistakes. So I understand what people are saying with that, but it is about the winning element. And right. And the thing that I look at is I look at the games that you won. You look and say, okay, what did we do well? And the games, like a game like yesterday, where you lose a close game to Buffalo, you try to say, what can we take from that game? And now we can incorporate it against the Chargers.
Or against the Bills again.
Or against the Bills again. That will put us, give us an opportunity to come away with a win. Mm-hmm. And what I would say is don't throw no swing passes on your own five-yard line.
Drake wanted that back, though, immediately. You could tell.
But don't even dial that up.
Yeah.
Because when you dial a play up like that, that's the problem where, okay, the quarterback might be like, and nobody there. And then, because it looked like it was a designed swing pass.
And that's also the thing with, like, not only is there a first-year head coach, but this first-year quarterback, Drake May, of all, like, everything's great, right? He's going to be the next Josh Allen. He's amazing. But he won't make that play. He learned from, he's going to learn. He has to learn from all these experiences, too. Like, that play gets called. That has to be perfect, right, Wig? Like, that has to have everything lined up. Otherwise, you're throwing it into the third row and living to fight another day, which if he had it again, he would probably do it. Next time that happens, he'll do it. But there's a lot of that as well, where you're not just, like, going back to the blackboard with a guy who knows what he likes and knows what he doesn't. This kid is trying to figure this all out on his
own, too. Well, the thing that I would teach him on any swing pass is when you catch the ball, don't catch it and throw it. When you catch it, take one or two steps back and then throw it, so it's not a lateral, it becomes a forward pass, which then if that same things happen, it's an incomplete pass. But because you catch it and the running back's bubbling back a little bit, it instantly becomes a lateral, and that's what ultimately led to Buffalo getting the touchdown out of that. So maybe that's something you could teach him on, that is, all right, when we do call this play, catch it, take one or two steps back, just so you know the pass is going forward.
All right, well, we are coming to the end here. I can't believe it. Flew by this morning.
Is that it? We're almost at the end?
Yeah, we've got about 3 minutes left.
All right, well, can I give a quick shout-out?
Yes, please.
It's not really a shout-out. I used to coach with this guy in football when they were younger, Coach Adam Harlow. And unfortunately, him and his family had a fire where their house was burnt down and they lost everything. Fortunately, no one was hurt. He has three kids, but they have like a GoFundMe that they're having for the Harlow family. You can find it on your GoFundMe page. But if you live in kind of like the Masco area, they're having an event to help with donations Monday, today, the 23rd, from 4 to 6 p.m. at the football field. So we used to coach when they were little. But that's always when you hear house fires and people lose everything. Luckily, nobody lost their life. So, you know,
the holidays.
Yeah, and but the material things you can always replace. And so, you know, no one's there. But if you want to help, you can just go to the Harlow family on GoFundMe. So,
all right.
Just wanted to give them a quick, like,
it's a good plug.
Shout out. So,
well, Jaden, thanks so much for joining us today. Are you happy that you got to see how the sausage is made, what your dad does every morning?
Yeah, it's cool to see what he does. Pretty cool what he does, too.
Yeah, I like it. Are you guys going to hit up any Celtics games? I know that you guys live very close, and
the
Wiggy's
Bruins
always.
Tonight, right? Bruins tonight?
Yeah.
You hit up the Bruins?
He's looking at me.
Top team in the NHL?
Yeah. I'm just seeing your Peyton Pritchard sweatshirt. Yeah, so.
Oh, he went to the Celtics game.
Yeah, I went to the, when they played the Bulls.
When they went to the Bulls, the Missoula fight game.
Yeah, Santo was at that one, too.
It's like the only game they've lost at home.
Right.
And he's a big hockey fan. He's a big Bruins fan. But if I do get tickets, then he
also can go and critique
tonight.
Get the PK.
He's looking at Ray. I'm like, Ray, you got some tickets.
I'm not even in the building tonight. I'm in the studio. Otherwise, you could have came in with me. I could have done the whole thing.
And
I'm actually not working in the building
tonight.
And it's
a good game, too, because the Capitals are really good.
Top
no
Ovi,
though.
No Ovi.
No Ovechkin. That sucks.
Same.
But you
not
know what? They're still a good team. And like I always said this before, hockey's I feel like it's funner to watch in person.
Yes.
You know, when you watch it in person, like, you don't realize how fast the game is until you actually go there and you see, like, what these guys can do on ice.
It's not as good of a TV. Like, football's better on TV.
Yeah, I would have football all day
you
long.
You sit on the couch, you can flip it around.
Yeah.
Hockey's not the same.
It's
better live than
speed,
on TV.
The speed of the game, you know, because he used to play hockey. He was a pretty good defenseman when he moved his feet, but he was
PK.
Lazy.
Good PK. PK specialist.
Easy.
It's
He's got his PK play design up. He knows how to kill
the box and play the triangle. That's all you need to do.
Take your space.
All right, well, that will do it for us. Fitzy's already up on the Twitch. So they're trying to kick us out. I can see him. He's got a Santa hat on. Shime, I'll see you this evening.
Yes, can't wait.
All right, I can't wait. I hope everybody has a great Christmas, a great Christmas Eve, a great Hanukkah, great holiday season. We have the greatest listeners of all time.
Yeah,
we always
Merry
say
Christmas.
That.
And great job by Courtney again. Anytime she drives the bus, hands down, she does. She's in the like when you know how that clubhouse, it's Greg and then her.
Oh, thank you.
I don't know why Ken puts Curtis there. They should let Courtney drive the bus. Curtis does a decent job, but not like
You got my vote.
Oh, thank you. My hands are sweating, it's time to go. All right, that'll do it for us. Jones and Keefe up next, but I see Fitzy in the building, so enjoy that. Good morning, Fitzy. Have a great one. Merry Christmas.